Wayne didn't consider himself to be a particularly religious man. He figured that Harmony didn't pay much attention to fellows like him, for the same reason a master painter didn't often wonder what his mom had done with the pictures he'd given her as a toddler. That said, Wayne did like to visit the Temple of the Common Man now and then. It made him feel better and forget his problems for a spell. So he knew the place when Wax sent him on ahead to check it over. The temple huddled on the corner of an intersection, a stately old building, squat and stubborn. Newer tenements perched on either side, some 6 stories tall. But the temple had an air of an old gaffer in his chair who hadn't the inclination to look higher than a fellow's knees. As Wayne had expected, the door was open and friendly, still spilling out light, though it was starting to get late. He strolled down the lane and nodded to the temple guard, who wore a cap and overalls for his uniform and bore a ceremonial stick that seemed to have bits of hair sticking out of the end, likely from clubbing men upside the head for being too rowdy. Wayne tipped his hat to the man.
Hello, Blue. How watery's the beer today?
Don't make trouble at the pub tonight, Wayne. My temper is really short.
Temper? That's a funny name for it, mate, but if the ladies like you giving silly names to your body parts, I ain't gonna say nothing.
Ritual introductions finished, Wayne stepped into the temple proper. Inside, men and women bowed at their places, heads drooping as they considered the deep complexity of the Cosmere. Their prayers were made in mumbled exchanges to friends, and their incense in the burning of pipes. A picture of old Ladrian himself hung over the altar, a man with a ripe paunch and a cup thrust forward, as if to demand attention. Wayne stood in the doorway, head bowed in respect, and dabbed his fingers into a trail of beer dripping from a nearby table, then anointed himself on the forehead and navel, the mark of the spear. The scent marked him as a pilgrim upon this holy ground, and he passed among the penitent seeking forgiveness on his way to the altar. The air of the place was odd tonight, solemn. Yes, the temple was a place of contemplation, but it should also be a place of joy. Where were the hymns, sung in a holy slur? Where was the laughter, the joyful noise of celebration?
Not good.
He settled onto one of the pews, in this case a rough circular table with scriptures carved into it, like, "Mick is a total git," and "The sausages is rubbish." He'd always liked that one. It brought up real theological implications, it did. If the food they ate was trash, were they ultimately trash? Were they all nothing in the end? Or should one instead see even trash as something to be elevated, as it had been created by the God beyond, like everything else? Wayne settled back in his seat and drew a few looks from nearby tables. As a lovely young conventicalist in a plunging top passed by carrying mugs, he took her arm.
I'll have some whiskey.
The maid shook her head and continued on her way. Those nearby ignored him. Wayne closed his eyes and listened to their prayers.
They're just gonna let us starve. You heard the governor, Wren. All he cares about is his rusting reputation.
We're supposed to have the good life. Harmony made this land for us all. But do we get to enjoy it? No. Its riches only mean that the fine folk get more outfits and big houses.
Something needs to change in this city. I ain't out of work like those fellas at the steel mill, but Harmony.
16-hour shifts. I leave before my little girl gets up, and she's in bed before I get back. See her once a week, I do.
We work and die so we can give it all up to the same people. They own the building we live in. Ain't that the scam? Work for them all day, then give it all back at night for the privilege of being able to survive another day to keep working.
Weighty prayers, those were. Wayne kicked back away from his table and walked to the altar at the front of the room, with its bottles on the rack behind shining in the light. Gas lights. Real traditional, this temple was. He settled down at the altar between a fellow with suspenders and another with arms so hairy he had to have some bear in him. Grandfather, at least. Wayne nodded to the priest behind the altar.
Whiskey.
The man gave him a cup of water with a lemon in it instead. Wayne settled back, sipping his water. The men here at the altar, they didn't complain. They just stared, holding their cups. Wayne nodded. Those were silent prayers, the kind that you could read in their eyes. He reached out and plucked the cup from the next man's hands. Plain rum. What fun was that? He reached over to Bear Fur and plucked his drink from his fingers as well. Both men turned toward him as he downed the rest of his water, then mixed their drinks together in his cup. He gave it a squeeze of his lemon and a pinch of sugar from behind the altar, then added some ice, placed a coaster on top, and shook like his life depended on it. Which it might, since the fellow with rugs on his arms had just stood up and cracked his knuckles. Before he could start pounding, Wayne spun a cup toward each man and settled back in thought. Hesitant, the men reached out and tried their drinks. Suspenders tried his first.
Wow! What did you do?
Wayne tapped the table with one finger as Hairy Arms tried his drink and nodded appreciatively. Living among the fancy folk had taught Wayne a few things. Fancy folk couldn't ever do anything the ordinary way. Sometimes he thought they acted strange just so they wouldn't be like regular folk. But they did know how to get drunk. He'd give them that. The priest came over to investigate the disturbance, but both men just wanted more of what Wayne had made. The priest listened to them try to explain it and then nodded. Looked like he'd worked some fancy parties or had some rich folk come in here. Wayne slipped something onto the altar, a couple of bullet casings.
What's this? Is this aluminum?
Wayne stood up and gathered a few things from behind the altar, then piled them in the priest's arms. He had ice, fortunately, from a delivery earlier. That was getting cheaper and cheaper these days, with shipments down from the mountains. The fellow also had a nice collection of spirits and some fixings, enough for Wayne to make do. Wayne pointed for the men to follow him, then began working his way through the room. He stopped at each table, taking their drinks and reworking them. Those with beer got juice or soda water, mixed carefully and transformed. He always left them with something like what they'd started with, but new, fresh. He added ginger to some, worked real nice with lemon, and bitters to others. He tried to use something from every table and only got cussed at a couple of times. Before too long, he had the temple feeling far more companionable. In fact, he'd drawn something of a crowd. He settled down at a table in front of a tall, pretty woman with large eyes and long fingers. The drink he made for her wasn't actually anything special. Gin and lime with some soda water and a hint of sugar. But the secret ingredient, well, that was something special. A pouch of blue powder he'd found at the party earlier that night. He'd traded some sand for it. He mixed the powder into the drink with a hidden twist of the fingers, shaking, before finally adding the lime. As he slid the cup in front of the woman, the drink's blue liquid swirled and moved, then blushed to a deep violet, the color moving through it like growing mists. The woman smiled at him. He gave her a grin back. He was taken, yes, but he needed to keep practicing his flirtin', or Renette was likely to start ignoring him. And then the skin of the woman's cheeks shifted to blue, then violet, just like the drink had. Wayne jumped back from the table as her skin returned to normal. She took the drink with a sly smile.
Nice, but I usually like something with more kick to it.
The others in the temple were retreating to their pews. They'd enjoyed the show, but were looking forward to enjoying their liquor even more. They didn't seem to have noticed what the woman's skin had done. Perhaps Wayne had been mistaken. He hesitantly took the seat back and looked at the woman, whose eyes, clear as daylight, shifted from blue to violet, then once again to blue.
Well, hang me. You're that immortal, ain't you?
Sure am.
She held out her hand for him to shake.
Name's Milan. Wexilium told me to say all yellow pants to prove it. You did well here tonight. When I first arrived, I felt like the place was going to burst from all the anger. You might have stopped a riot.
It's just one pub.
Wayne shook her hand, then settled back in his chair.
One out of hundreds. If a riot is brewing, I can't stop it with some girly drinks.
True, I suppose.
What I need to do is get the whole city drunk.
Or, you know, advocate workers' rights to bring down working hours, improve conditions, and meet a base minimum of pay.
Yeah, that too. But if I could get everybody drunk, think how much happier this city would be.
So long as you get me drunk first, I'd be fine with it.
Milan held out her cup to him.
Top a lady off, will you?
No, this ain't right. You're some kind of demigod or something. Shouldn't you be moralizing at me?
Lo, behold.
She wiggled her cup.
Bring an offering to your deity in the form of one blue sunset extra gin, and ye shall be blessed.
I think I can do that. Bloody hell. Maybe I am religious after all.
The immortal demigod took a throaty slurp of her beer, then grinned like a 4-year-old who had been paid in cookies to rat out her sister. Wax studied her as she looked Wayne in the eyes. Beside Wax, Wayne nodded in appreciation, looking quite impressed. He then downed his own beer.
How do you do that?
Years of training and practice.
I've been alive for well over half a millennium. I am certain I have more practice than you.
You don't have the will, though. You gotta want it.
Wayne downed the rest of his mug. Marcy, who sat next to Wax in their booth at the pub, looked horrified by the exchange. Wax had allowed her to drive them here, if only so he could rebind his wound and check it over. The painkillers were doing their job, though. He could barely feel the hit. After the short ride, he and Marcy had walked in on these two in the middle of their belching contest. Wax wasn't certain if it was a contest, or more a matter of mutual appreciation, like two virtuosos playing their favorite songs. Melan finished her beer, then dramatically held up her hand. The palm split, forming lips.
Cheating?
Just using what Father gave me. Don't tell me you wouldn't belch out of other body parts if you could.
Well, now that you mention it, I can make a real interesting sound with...
And not to defer a conversation about which parts of Wayne's body can and can't make noise, but I have to admit that you aren't what I expected, Your Grace.
Bloody hell, please don't call me that.
You're a servant of Harmony.
I'm from one of the later generations. In Chandra terms, I'm basically still a kid.
You lived through the Katasandra. You knew the originators.
I spent the Katasandra underground. I was an adolescent and didn't know the land when it was covered in ash. You really don't need to be intimidated by me.
You're over 600 years old.
So is Dirt. Look, I'm just here to help. If you want someone to fawn over, I'll send Vendel or one of the really ancient ones to you. They like it. I just want to see Pa'alm stopped, then helped.
Wax leaned forward on the table. He could sense in the way Melan smiled at people passing by that she liked people. She liked being here among them. She wasn't aloof, as he'd expected, or withdrawn. Not even that alien, despite the fact that she'd just made a mouth in her hand.
You're the one who brought me my earring, all those years ago.
I was wearing the same body, but I'm still surprised you remember.
And whose body is it? Where did you get those bones?
I made them.
Melan raised her chin. Her face went transparent suddenly, revealing the skull underneath, one made of carved crystal of a vivid emerald color.
I prefer true bodies, though if I need to, I can take another form. I'll warn you, as far as Chandra go, I'm only so-so at impersonation.
And this one we're hunting?
Wayne had started building a house-like tower using the thin wooden coasters strewn around the tavern table, placing them on their ends.
Pa'alm?
Melan turned her face back to normal.
She was one of our best. Of all the Chandra I know, only Tensun is better at it than she is.
But she'll be erratic. She's gone mad. That should help us spot her, even in disguise, right?
Maybe.
Melan took a few of the coasters and started her own tower.
Pa'alm is good. And imitation. Well, it's kind of ingrained in us, particularly the older Chandra who worked back in the days of the Final Empire. Some of them don't feel like they have personalities of their own. They don't know how to live unless they're being someone else.
You seem to find the idea disturbing.
I'm a youngster. Never really had to serve the Lord Ruler. I've always served Harmony, who seems like a generally nice fellow.
An odd way to refer to God. Wax glanced at Marcy, who cocked an eyebrow at him and shrugged. Wax and the others had settled into a secluded booth at the side. The warm gas lighting was somehow friendlier, more alive than the electric lights back at his mansion.
All right, let's talk about what Bleeder can do, and about how to kill her.
You don't need to kill her.
Melan got her tower to a second story. She glanced at Wayne, who already had his up to 3 levels.
Just remove her remaining spike, which will basically immobilize her. She's confused. We can deal with her once we have her in custody.
Confused? She killed a priest by nailing him through the eyes.
She only has one spike. She's not thinking straight.
Yes, but she pulled the other spike out herself, right?
We think so. We're weaker than other hemallergic creatures. Only 2 spikes and we can be taken. So she removed one.
She wanted freedom to kill. She's not confused, Melan. She's destructive and possibly psychotic. Tell me how to kill her.
Acid works. but it's horribly inefficient. If you crush her skeleton, she'll have a hard time moving, so maybe use that. Gunshots will be useless, as will most forms of physical damage. The spike. It's the key. Pull it out and she'll revert to her primal state. It's the best way.
Her primal state? A mist wraith?
Milan nodded.
If I can get the spike out, chances are that I've already immobilized her. If she's tied up, what good will it do to remove the spike?
Waxillium, do you realize what you're dealing with? Pa'am was trained by the ancients and served the Lord Ruler himself. She quashed rebellions and overthrew kingdoms in his service, and she is intimately familiar with the intricacies of hemallergy. By your own account, she's learned to use spikes to grant herself allomancy and ferrochemy, something we thought impossible. If you have her captured, that is a state she's not likely to remain in for long. Remove that spike.
Right. Will do.
Rusts. I thought you didn't want us to be intimidated by you.
Me? I'm harmless. I'm far less crazy than Pa'alm.
Great.
Wax glanced at Wayne.
You look concerned.
Me?
Wayne placed a fourth level onto his tower.
Sorry. Trying to think of how to get everyone in the city drunk.
I'm not going to ask.
Wax grabbed a few of the coasters as a barmaid dropped more on the table, having noticed that they were playing with them. He started building a tower of his own.
So we get the spike out. How?
Easiest way is to call me. I can get it out. But if I'm not there, don't wait on me. Break her bones, start pulling them out, and eventually you'll find the spike. It will take a strong stomach.
Is there a way to spot a chondra? Wound patterns? Blood samples?
Milan dug into her pocket.
Once we've shifted shapes, we lock into that body and are that person. We'll bleed. And if you take off a finger, our prints will remain that of the person we're imitating. Even another chondra will have trouble spotting a duplicate. Haven't you read the Historica?
Several times. But the chondra sections are kind of dull.
I feel like I should be offended by that.
Then you aren't drunk enough.
Wayne was onto a fifth level now. Wax shook his head and concentrated on getting his second level built.
Anyway, locating other chondra was a problem in the past. So we did something about it, just in case. The more scientifically minded among us developed this.
She slid something onto the table. A pair of needles, about as long as a man's palm is wide, attached to metal syringes. Wax held one up.
Inject that into a chondra and the liquid inside will make her shape droop for a bit. The skin briefly goes clear, reveals who she really is.
Nifty.
One problem, though. If you stick it into someone who isn't a chondra, it will kill them.
Inconvenient?
Yeah, we're working on that part. This is a last resort, obviously, but it will immobilize her briefly. If you want to find Palm before using it, you can try to catch her in a lie. She won't have the actual memories of the person she's imitating. Conversely, if you see someone who isn't metalborn use a power, that outs her too.
I've got a feeling that if she's using her powers right in front of me, I'm dead anyway.
Wax took both syringes and tucked them into the pouch on his gun belt. Marisi scribbled on a notepad, transcribing the conversation. He'd have to ask her for a copy. Drink refills arrived, and no payment was requested. What had Wayne done here before Wax arrived? He was afraid to ask.
What help is this?
A weapon he could use only when he was already 100% certain who the imposter was? It felt like so little. Bleeder could be anyone. Bleeder could manifest any of the powers. Bleeder was ancient, brilliant, and crafty.
She has a plan. She's not simply crazy, Milan. There is more to this.
You're still determined to kill her?
If I have to. Why are you so hesitant? I'd think that the chondra would be determined more than anyone to see this problem dealt with.
She's not a problem. She's a person. Yes, I want to see her stopped. She needs to be stopped, but...
Milan settled back, then knocked over her small tower of coasters with a flick of the finger.
There's so few of us left. Hell, there weren't ever more than 500 or 600 of us, and we lost a lot in the days before the final ascension. Imagine if your entire race consisted of 300 people, Lawman. Maybe you'd be a little more hesitant to see one of them slagged.
A person's species shouldn't matter. I don't care if there are 300 of you left or just three. When one of you starts nailing people to walls in my city, I'm going
to... Wax?
Wayne balanced his sixth story of beer mat coasters.
Check your pulse, mate.
Sorry.
What was that? Pulse?
Sometimes Wax forgets he's a person and starts thinking he's a rock instead.
It's Wayne speak.
Wax grabbed some coasters and started another tower.
For times when he thinks I should be a little more empathetic.
You can be pretty single-minded, mate.
Says the man who once collected 80 different kinds of beer bottles.
Yeah, did that mostly to annoy you, I did.
You're kidding.
Started to hate all those rusting bottles, but each morning you'd curse when you tripped over a new box of them, and it was just so melodious.
You know, you two aren't anything like I was led to believe.
Tell me about it.
For one thing, I had no idea that Kid Wayne was so talented with beer mat sculptures.
He cheated. He stuck some of the coasters on his lower level together with that gum stuff he's been chewing.
Marcy and Milan turned to Wayne, who grinned. He picked up his sculpture, knocking down the top levels, but revealing that the bottom three had indeed been stuck together.
Wayne, are you that concerned with impressing us?
It wasn't about impressing anyone. The contest wasn't about how high the towers got. It was about if I'd spot what he did. He always cheats somehow. Back to the matter at hand, Milan. Your rogue Chandra friend is planning something. If her plot gains momentum, it will roll over us and crush this city.
I agree. So what do?
We outthink her. I need to know her motive. Why is she doing this? What drove her to pull out her spike in the first place?
I wish I knew. We've been trying to figure out the same thing.
Tell me about her, then. What is she like? What are her passions?
Pa'am was the ultimate blank slate. Old-style Chandra. Like I said, she spent so much time out on missions she barely had a personality of her own. She had real trouble with that at the dawn of a new world. Some of the older generations, they liked to spend time in the homeland, only left for a mission when forced to, not Pa'am. She was the father's own, the Chandra reserved specifically to do missions for the Lord Ruler. She might know things from him, things the rest of us weren't told. I think he may have even had her imitate inquisitors at times, act as a mole among them. Anyway, she wouldn't have been able to impersonate an inquisitor without a good grasp of alomancy and ferrochemy, so maybe that's where she got the knowledge. She was loyal to the Lord Ruler, and then when he was gone, she became loyal to Harmony, fanatical about it, insisted on being given mission after mission, and never spent time with the rest of us, kept to herself. She was almost always in character, well, until...
Murderous rampage. It's always the quiet ones. Well, and the psychopathic ones. That too.
So what does that tell me?
Wax left his little tower at three stories.
How would I approach this if it were any other criminal?
Milan leaned back for a moment, as if lost in thought, then flipped a coaster at Wax's tower to knock it down.
Huh.
What?
I was just curious to see if you were cheating, too.
Wax never cheats.
That's incorrect. I cheat infrequently. That way nobody's expecting it.
Wax stood up.
Can you think of a reason Bleeder would target the governor in particular?
Milan shook her head.
Do any of the other Chandra know her better than you do?
Maybe one of the older ones. I can see if I can get one of them to come talk to you.
Good. But first, I want you three watching the governor.
I've got to report into the precinct offices first. I want to follow up on something there.
Fine. Wayne, you head to the governor's mansion first.
He ditched me last time.
He won't again. I've persuaded him to listen, though we'll need him to meet Milan soon.
Sure. All right. Wasn't like I was planning to, you know, sleep tonight or anything.
Sleep might be in short supply going forward.
You want me to go with him, Dawnshot?
Depends. Marcy, would you like some backup?
Yes, please.
Watch her, and maybe give Aradel a glimpse of your nature. It's probably time to inform him what we're up against.
Already done, though I'm sure he'd like proof.
Be quick about your errand, and get to the governor. I want more than one set of eyes on him. And before we split, I want each pair of us to exchange codes, individual and unknown to the others, so we each have a way to authenticate ourselves to one another. I've done the same with the governor and his top staff.
Harmony, this is gonna be a nightmare.
Watching the governor isn't going to be enough, Wax.
Marcy stood up from the table.
You yourself said it. Too reactive. So what else are we going to do?
I'll come up with something.
The others stood, and Wax towed Wayne by the arm to check to see that they were square with the pub manager. Surprisingly, Wayne had indeed paid for everything he should have. On their way toward the door, Wax explained to his friend a little idea he had for protecting the governor. They stepped into the entryway of the pub, where Milan was waiting while Marcy fired up her beast of a motor car. Wayne hiked off to catch a carriage to take him to the governor's mansion, and Wax took Milan by the arm.
I hate this, not being able to trust people I should always be able to, second-guessing myself.
Yeah, but you'll handle it. There's a reason he came to you for this.
Milan stepped in closer. Rust, she was attractive. But then it would be odd if she weren't, all things considered.
You and I aren't the only ones hunting Pa'am, Lawman. Every Chandra in the city is searching for her. Thing is, I don't think many of my brothers and sisters will be of use. They're timid about hurting others, particularly after what Tensoon was forced to do during the Remark duplicity. And beyond that, they can be an inconsistent group.
They're God's servants.
Yes, and they've had centuries upon centuries to refine their eccentricities. Getting older does not tend to make you more normal. Let me tell you, we don't think like killers. We've been too closely in contact with Harmony. What Pa'am is doing, it baffles us. It goes against everything we've believed and lived for centuries. I don't think we'll be able to find her, not in time. But you can.
Because I think like a killer.
I didn't...
It's all right.
Wax released her arm.
I am what I am.
He took his mist coat from the peg by the door and shrugged it on.
Thanks, by the way.
For?
He tapped his ear and the earring he wore in it.
This.
I was just the delivery girl.
Doesn't matter. It was what I needed, when I needed it. I'll meet you all at the governor's mansion.